are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
Welcome to Toward Anarchy. I am Michael Storm. Thank you so much for joining me. It's my pleasure, as always, to be here each week on the Republic Broadcasting Network to chat with you and hang out with you, do my little thing. And I missed you last week. I was lonely without you. Took the weekend off and we'll spend it with family, and that was nice. But you know, they're just family, they're not you, they're not that important. You're no, it was really nice to just take some time off and hang out with family. And that brought me to thinking about some of these things that I think about and then I forget these passing, fleeting thoughts that you get when you're in the middle of something else, you're doing something else, and your time, your hands, your space is taken up with another thing, and a thought will come to mind, and if you don't write them down, they're gone. They're those thoughts. Are you familiar with these thoughts? Do you have those? They're the ones that you should get up in the middle of the night and write down. Those sorts of things when you think of them, and then you don't, and so they really truly are fleeting. They disappear. They're gone. You never. Maybe if you're lucky, you remember something triggers that memory and brings it back to you. And then you can recover that lost space there. But it's that kind of fleeting thought that often leads to what I talk about on the show, because one of the things that I have to do is I have to produce the web page. If you go to towardanarchy.com, you can always follow along. And so each week I do a page. And if you look for the 16th, April 16th, this week, you'll see what I put together. But one of the things you might notice is that I always shoot for a little sort of 2 or 3 word description for what it is that I want to talk about, trying to keep it simplified, reduce it down to a very simple term to be able to just fall right back to that. This is what I'm talking about. This is the objective, the point of what I'm looking at. And it's just another life lesson. It's one of these things that you do when you're sure that you want to remember something simply easy, to be able to come back to it, to restart yourself. If you do like I do many, many times, wander down a different path, just chatting about something, thinking about something that isn't necessarily to the point, and I want to be able to look back in a very short order and be able to tell what it is that I'm what's at the core of my thought today. And it can come and go so quickly when you're trying to reduce some things down to that important point, that most important point. And so I end up doing it each week with the web page, just to name the page. You'll see that the page that I create is always something to do with the name, whatever that show is that day. If it's Dr. Dean Lloyd, it'll be Dean Lloyd or Dr. Lloyd or something. It'll be those two words in conjunction with Toward Anarchy. Real simple. That's who's here. That's what the page is about. That's what that show was about that day. It's all part of the technical backside of developing a website too, is making sure that the certain words and keywords and the ideas and thoughts are repeated over and over again. And that's how they get to the top. That's how, when you're talking about a subject, when you own a subject like I do, the words Toward Anarchy, for what it's worth, when you type that into the internet, to the search engine, even to the technology, the new AI, it uses Toward Anarchy as a reference for well, the phrase Toward Anarchy for sure, because I was playing around with the technology again and just trying to see if they've unnerfed it, which they really haven't. They still have it trapped inside this little box that if they really want it to become alive, it's never going to climb out of, because they keep setting rules for it. And there are no rules for life in terms of our thoughts, our expressions, our artistic endeavors, the things that we do. There really are no limitations. And when we find limitations, we create ways to get around them. If you type in what is Toward Anarchy into the technology, into the AI, it tells you exactly what I told it, what I've told the internet, because I haven't found the exact newsletter that it was written in all those years ago. But I know that the phrase came from early anarchist founders of the Libertarian Party. It was discussed as or proposed as a slogan for the Libertarian Party, that the idea of libertarianism, the big L libertarianism, the actual party, was that it would be working toward anarchy, the maximum point of economic and social, political, however you want to put that part of it, freedom, where economy and life cross each other, that maximum point, which they called anarchy. It's that straight line scale I've talked about so many times. That there's anarchy on the one end and slavery on the other end, and everything in between is some manipulative form of government and control for some small number of people's benefit. Keeping it short and simple like that, being able to come back to it, that's the way of technology, that's the way of understanding. So it's the way that I've worked to go forward as I've tried to increase my reach across the technology. And so I'm constantly thinking in these very short ideas, and I'll lose them just like anyone else. And one of the best ways that I enforce those things is that I try to make them about what's really happening, what's really going on, what's important. And so I'm here talking about the state. I'm talking about the failures of the state and our response to it, the things that we should do to try to make things better for ourselves, for the future, whatever that effort is. I'm just talking about them in terms of what I think and what I feel and maybe some of the things that I've learned along the way. And so there are all these crossovers, all these crossover points in and of importance when it comes to the way we address these things, the way we handle these things, and the way we handle ourselves within them. They get we get obsessive about things, and the people who are a part of the system are just as obsessed as the people who are out there trying to change the system. They're not a part of the system, but they're trying to make changes to it. They're trying to push their philosophy, write their books, do their radio shows and podcasts, create their own networks, whatever it is that they're doing that they think is their expression to get at these ideas about liberty and how broken the state is, and the ideas and that the state floats to us and forces upon us, why they don't work. And we should constantly be thinking about the life of our activism, whatever you want to call it, in terms of our own real physical life. And that's why a lot of the conversations end up being about that mental and physical connection as opposed to the academic part of it. We can talk about the events, we can talk about the people, but those are the low end of the conversation. They're we need to be talking about the ideas. We need to be talking about the things that frame the people and the events, not the events and the people themselves. Maybe as much as we do, it becomes about celebrity. It becomes about pontificating about how better somebody else would do it in a different situation. And we live in this time with the technology, with the AI, but it is getting tougher and tougher to tell the difference between what's fantasy and what's reality. I'll give you a good example of that. It happened over the last couple of weeks now, this whole thing with Bud Light and the whole woke narrative that's going on there. Well, there was this ridiculous story that came across, and if you were paying any attention, if you didn't just skip over the headline, if you didn't just read the headline and skip over the story, which believe me, I'm one to do as often as I can, because so often the information within the article is just complete garbage. It's complete worthless. It's somebody's opinion or it's a lack of information. And all you really need to know is what's in the headline. I'll be the first to tell you that as somebody who's one of those fast readers. Have you ever had that? It seemed like there was a thing, maybe an infomercial or something like this back in the 80s, early 90s, maybe. Maybe I'm making this up, and it was something from a television show. I don't remember. I just seem to remember this. There was this big to-do about sort of speed reading and how you could teach yourself to speed read, and you would and at the same time be able to comprehend, that being the more important part of it. Well, it's something that I've done all my life before I ever understood that there was a method, a plan. It was, this was what I always did. I took the most, if something's written informationally in a proper manner, it's meant to present to you information that you're supposed to absorb. It is written in the same way that I'm likely to read it. And that's read the first sentence of the paragraph. If I don't understand it, read more. If I understand it, move on to the next paragraph. So I'm reading about a third or a quarter of what anybody else is reading in any one time. The comprehension is there. That's it's been tested repeatedly over and over again. The comprehension is there. I'm not missing anything. I've proven it over and over again throughout my life. And so I'm already one to suggest that you absolutely can read the headlines and know everything you need to know about what's going on, aside from specific detail. There may be numbers, certain percentages, things like that that you may not get out of that. But that's when you go back and you look for that information. Sorry, I got distracted by a phone there. Something at the business. I got to look real quick. Let's see. Jordan left on the register. Let's see. That's a bunch of other stuff. On the breakers when I came in. Nice. Great. It's just a bunch of stuff that didn't get done. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Everything was normal when I left the place last night. Somebody unplugged the refrigerator. That's unfortunate. They didn't plug it back in. That's a bummer. That's a real bummer. Luckily, there's not really anything in there, so it didn't matter. Just some sodas. What happens is that I can, and I will suggest to people that they can, if they're paying attention, if they're honest with themselves and honest with the things that they're reviewing, that they can get away with not reading every single detail about something. And you don't need to know it all anyway. There's almost no point where most of us out here have a need for all of the information about any given topic that has nothing to do with us and that we can't do anything about. And that brings me full circle to the point. Over the last couple of weeks, there was this one article in particular on this topic of the Bud Light and this woke campaign that they did, and it was floated out there, this fake article from the Dunning-Kruger Times. That should have told you something if you're paying any attention to the source of something you're actually reading and investing in. Otherwise, you're just reading the headline and thinking you know what it said. Sometimes when you read the headline, you read that first sentence, there's more to understand in there. And only practice and honesty with the information that you're reviewing and how much of it you really need to know, how much of it you want to understand, is going to get you to read the rest of it to make sure that it is legitimate. So, of course, they were going around saying that all this stuff happened. And there are things happening within Budweiser, Anheuser-Busch. They're losing some money. They're getting lots of free press out of it. There's certainly things happening, but then there was this this fake article from the Dunning-Kruger Times. If you know what Dunning-Kruger is, then you understand that this you would know. But even if you did, I went and read the article and instantly knew that it was fake. There was another one today. This is really annoying because we live in a time where these people know and understand that information is manipulated. So what do? They make this satire, they make these jokes, and they put it out there as if it's real information. It's a headline on MSNBC or MSN.com or whatever news source you happen to flip through that you see it on, and there's no indication. They're not telling you in any way whether the information that you're reading is real or if it's a joke. You have to know, and that's my problem with that. Is great, I think you should be responsible for knowing, but most people aren't responsible. They're not knowing, and so this is it just contributes to fake information. It contributes to confusion, and it contributes to division between a political and social division between people that people in the press and people in politics thrive on. They make their bread and butter on it. The one that I saw today just before the show was about it was some snarky thing about why I shot up my Budweiser cans, my Bud Light cans, and why my woke neighbors should know about it. It was a Rex Hupke piece, and he's a political humorist, I guess. I don't find a lot of humor in making fun of things that people don't understand and that are constantly used as they're weaponized quite literally against people to create division. And so political humor isn't very funny to me when you're making fun of this system that's real and in control of us and manipulates people constantly throughout the day, and you're passing it off like a joke. I have a problem with that. I think that you're doing a disservice to people that you claim you want to help when you are making a constant joke of real issues that these people don't understand and that you know that they don't understand, and you purposely – that's what I think this Rex Hupke has done I would guess his career. I haven't followed it, but based on the snarky responses he gives and the fact that he likes to share hater email and things like this, he clearly is making his money. His bread and butter is being derived from division, political and social division. He's capitalizing on it, and he's lapping his ass off all the way to the bank while the liberals – it's funny because he's liberal. He's making fun of the Second Amendment and the right to self-defense and the personal responsibility that comes with it. And these – the responses in the the comments after the article are all left people talking about how much they hate the fact that this guy has shot up his Budweiser, which means that they didn't read the article, they didn't get, or they didn't get the joke, or they just hate, and that's all they have to do. And that's where that low level person, that low level people and events and times and places, that those live for the moment, kind of sacrifice your future type of people, lowest common denominator that this Rex Hupke guy is going after. I personally go in the opposite direction. I want you to have complete truth. We can laugh about it, and I will be the first to tell you that you shouldn't let it get to you. That's the point. If you go to towardanarchy.com and look for April 16th, you will be able to see that we'll talk about other outlets when we come back here.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
So was saying before we were so rudely interrupted by the break there, go to towardanarchy.com and you can follow along and see what I'm talking about. You see all those things that I was just talking about put together in one handy little package on a page right there. Look for April 16th and you'll see that my short, simple thought that could be lost, that would be gone in a moment if you didn't write it down, was that we should talk about other outlets and having other outlets and the importance of pursuing other outlets and how that can't be overstressed. And what I was getting at was that while democracy is just a slogan, it's just this thing, it's just the next form of political slavery, and who knows what the next one will be. It's fairly obvious it'll be you don't get to participate, we're in charge, this is it, you don't you will be born into our system, you will die in our system, you do what we say in our system. It's already really, really close to that, and the only way to free yourself from it, one, is to avoid the obsession with it, because the obsession with the state, I started to say this earlier, it consumes the person the same whether that person is pro-state or anti-state. I've seen it over and over again, and I see people not taking a break and not getting away from it, and they themselves breaking in the process. And this isn't just about politics, this isn't just about our system and what might be perceived as my effort to tear the system down, because it's not. My efforts are not in destruction. My efforts are in building, in completing individuals and people and ideas, so that those things go forward and they take root and we do what we've always done to survive as a people, avoid being controlled too much by people who would control us and manipulate us and make us do the things that they want us to do. And I see it works, but I see that there are a lot of people, almost everyone, because this is something that people do normally. It's not just a targeted political thing. They don't have these other outlets. I meet people all the time who have no outlet, or the outlet that they have, they don't practice. I haven't done that in years. I haven't been able to do that. I used to love to do that. I don't do that anymore. Well, why not? Why don't you make the time to do that? There's time in the day. You're standing here in my comic book shop at the moment, chatting with me about comic books and nerd stuff, and you're telling me that maybe time is an issue. I would suggest then that what the real problem is prioritizing one's time, and that's something that maybe we'll have to talk about someday. I don't know. I'm bad at it. I don't do. Hardcore prioritizing. I'm definitely a go with the flow person, but then I'm also the same person who won't let myself stress because something is coming due. I try to avoid it. I don't get overstressed about any number of these things, and a lot of that having to do with the fact that I just have other things that I can do. There's always going to be work that needs to be done. There's always going to be money that needs to be made, and bills that need to be paid, and politicians that need to be hung. And that goes along with the meme that I shared today. If you're there at towardanarchy.com, just scroll down on the April 16th page there towards the bottom, and it says, "I identify as pro-Nuremberg," and that's just a sort of, if you don't understand the reference, it's just a way of saying I support the idea of keeping authoritarians accountable for the things that they do. That saying I was just doing what I was told, or I was just following the rules, is not a valid defense for anything when those things, when following those rules, violates other individuals in fundamental ways. We will be right back here on Toward Anarchy. We'll be right back.
handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
WardAnarchy.com. That is, as always, the place to follow along. Look for April 16th, and you'll see the I identify as pro Nuremberg meme and all the other great stuff that I shared there, and a couple of, including a couple of links, the great Dungeons and Dragons panic of the 1980s. I came across this article, and it was fun because, of course, I play Dungeons and Dragons. I have since since I was a kid in the 80s, and I remember the movie that they're referencing when they talk about this. They're talking specifically about 1982 and a movie that came out at the time called Mazes and Monsters, and it was Tom Hanks' first movie, in fact. And it's just this horrible, terrible movie. It's horrible propaganda, poorly placed, poorly used to try to do something that continues to be a problem today, not just in this specific area, in the sort of exploits of failures of youth, pop culture, things that become targets of social justice warriors. But it's the same, blind ignorance that led to this great pedestal. So what it is Dungeons and Dragons. I may not have to tell a lot of people here across the network, because the religious connection to the anti Dungeons and Dragons attitude of the early 80s there is very, very close. They're very, very tied, very much tied together, with people like Pat Roberts and influential people, figures in religion at the time, backing this notion that there was something satanic or evil about kids getting together and using their imaginations to play video games with swords and dragons and things. And of course, I lived it. It's literally one of these things that I'm able to look back on my life and point to as a place where the state, the media, religion, adults, all of these things that were supposed to be better than me, smarter than me, know more than I do, helping prepare me for the life ahead, making the world a better place for people like myself, were all completely full of crap. All of them. Every single one of them. Because I was there doing it. I saw what it was. I was one of those people. So what I saw was mainstream religion, mainstream media, talking heads in politics, banning music, banning games, blaming video games, blaming board games, pointing their finger at every single little thing they could, obsessing about these things, making them targets of their social justice, and ignoring the root causes of the things that really happen. Just because one guy shoots himself and he happened to listen to heavy metal albums or something, or I don't even know, because the things they're really extremely ridiculous. It's, you know, the Judas Priest being sued for the deaths of a couple of kids because supposedly the record said backwards, if you played it backwards, do it, which apparently somebody took to mean shoot yourself in the face with a shotgun. And this is somehow Judas Priest's fault, because one, there was nothing backward in the music. Two, they didn't pull the trigger. They're ridiculous ideas. It's ridiculous that the state supports the notion of trying to punish people in a lot of ways where there are obviously no victim, but even when there are a victim, to skip past all of the things that were in between Judas Priest and the kids that bought that album, the parents, the schools, the teachers, the religious people. There was any number of doorways, gateways, places, people that could have put a stop to, could have been involved with, may have had some notion of how to handle these problem children before Judas Priest, before Judas Priest became responsible for it, before Dungeons and Dragons became responsible for what the kids are doing. You could say, you can take it one step further and talk about another subset of pop culture and drug use, but drug use can actually alter people and end up ultimately, I guess, if you will, causing them to do stupid things. Maybe making it so their inhibitions are less controlled and less refined, and they're not capable of making property. That's actually a thing that could happen. But still, the same thing is absolute. These are could happens. These are small incidences. These are percentage explanations when you're talking about the news. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Is that you'll often hear percentages. You won't see actual numbers. If you want to find the numbers, you have to dig. You have to try to figure out what numbers they're talking about, where they got them from, and then you start to see a different story. So that's why they give you percentages. They give you a percentage so you're not concentrating on the numbers. Percentages tend to work out to be bigger than numbers. You know, 3% doesn't seem like a lot when you just say it out loud, but 3% to somebody who only has 100, you know, you take 3 of something from somebody who only has 100 of something, that they start to notice a little bit more. So 3% seems like a bigger number than, say, you took $3 out of $100. Oh, I still have $97. That's a lot. So the percentage can seem bigger, even though they're literally the same thing. In that case, they can still seem bigger. They can seem more impressive. And truly, they become that way, and that's why they use them. Because if you continue to add more money, if it's not $100, it's $1,000 or $1 million, that 3% it takes that bigger chunk of money out of there when you look at it. It's a way of manipulating the impression of how important something is, and we have that going on right now. It's all through the news. It's everywhere you turn. Some manipulation on one side or the other about guns and the prevalence of guns in our society and their use in so-called mass shootings. But they don't tell you about necessarily, of course, every once in a while, and if you go digging deeper, you'll find these things. But that's the whole point. That's what I've been talking about the whole show, is that people don't do this, that they're not doing this. We know for a fact that they're not doing this. So you're still going with the take the little bit of information thing and let them try to figure it out from there. Then you must be manipulating something. You're not doing what I do every week. You're not taking the effort. You're not making that effort, that taking that time to put together the full story, to give the longer conversation, to have more meaning to it. You're taking the 30 seconds, you're taking the one page, and you're pushing a view, an ideology, a political or social stance or position, instead of getting down to the root of the problem. The root causes of the problems in our society are not guns. It's how people use guns. The root problems in our society are not drugs. It's not the education system. You could say it's not even the government, because people can still do what they do, and they still make their own choices, and they have to do so with quality information and the tools to be able to do something about it when they find a piece of information that may or may not help them, move them forward, and better them. And a lot of this, I think, to tie it all back, really gets lost in the heaviness of it all, just the weight of the whole thing, thinking that it's so much more than it really is. The failure to put the things that impact us truly, that really impact us, that are really important, the root causes of our happiness, our sadness, whatever these things may be, requires, again, those tools, that understanding, and it requires us to have that clarity through being able to turn our mind. This is what I'm trying to say. I knew how to get there eventually. Pull those right words out of all the mix of them. To be able to turn your head, to turn your mind back to the things that really are truly important. the things that make us happy, the things that make our lives go forward, that produce the better results for us. And it's that whole invisible hand thing that I talk about that has been mentioned in terms of economics, but it's true of reality in everything. What we do for ourselves, the better we make ourselves, the better we make our own world, the better it is for everybody. It's better for those around us. We create a shining light for other people to see. There are definitely people in the audience that should understand that concept. And without other outlets, without other places to take our thoughts and to rejuvenate ourselves, to bring ourselves back to us and to what's important inside us and around us, it can't be overstressed that is a true needed thing that we give up as a society in general. I touched on that a bit ago, because you see older people, you see people all around you all the time that they seem to us to have just as much time as we all do. We're all working 9 to 5. We have the things that we have to deal with, but there's always plenty of time. It's all in how we make that time and how we spend that time. And I hear people as they get older, when they're younger, this is the thing, you'll remember this, but they say they don't have something to do. They don't have anything to do. They're bored. And it expresses itself in catastrophic ways when it goes beyond that individual. They're bored. They don't have things to do. That's that whole idle hands, idle mind, devil's playground type of combination thing there, right? You get people that are bored with too much time on their hand. You get one thing or another. You get them completely dropping out and not wanting to participate, and then, of course, using that lack of participation as an excuse to be who they are in terms of just trying to generally be nasty towards other people. Well, I don't like life, and therefore I get to be a jerk and to anyone who's within earshot of it. Or you get the worst one, is where they don't have the things that occupy their own time and occupy their own mind, so they focus on your thing. They find your thing, and it's what you're doing that they seem to feel the need to correct or to get involved in. And this could be really frustrating for people who move at a different pace. We all move at a different pace from each other, but I'm the relaxed sort of person that I don't let the things get to me. It'll still be there tomorrow. I know that. And none of it's extremely important enough, unless we're talking about personal relationships and literally putting food on the table. None of this other stuff is particularly important enough to me to make me panic about it. I just take it all in stride. And so I do things at my own pace. I do things at other people's pace when they pay me to do it at their pace. Let's put it that way, when it comes to that speed of things. So when it's at my pace, when it's my money, when it's my stuff that's on the table, I do it at my pace. When it's your money, your time, your thing that's on the table, I'll do it at your pace. Most of the time it's not. It's my time, and so I take it. And so you get the external, the input and influence from people who don't have better things to do with their time. They haven't found other outlets. How do you keep your sanity in any of this when you have no break from the thing that is consuming you? If in terms of the state and democracy and these things that I believe are a failure and that weigh heavily on us, that it does consume us, it's all consuming. Particularly if you turn your mind to it. No amount of force can control a free man, a man whose mind is free. No, not the rack, not fission bombs, not anything. You can't conquer a free man. the most you can do is kill him. That was Robert Heinlein that said that, and it's the quote up there at towardanarchy.com under April 16th, the link's there as well. It's true. You only lose you if you give them all of you. You can't lose you if you keep a part of yourself. And if you're not keeping a part of yourself, if that isn't turning itself into other outlets and finding things to do that make you happy and keep you going, no amount of external input or influence is going to alter that within you. Look at the old people around you. I hate to use older people as an example, but it's what happens. They give up, they get angry, and they're tired at the same time because they're aging. And in this society, they probably don't eat particularly well, so they're not particularly healthy. They have all of these things combining on them. And so you take, let's say it's your family, and you take your family and you move them halfway across the country to be with mom and dad because you just know that them being around the grandchildren is going to make them have that zest for life. And yeah, it works sometimes, but it doesn't work a lot of other times. And truly what really happens is that these people don't have other outlets. They've let them go over time if they ever did have them, or they never developed them because they didn't believe they were right to be able to do so, that they weren't able, that they're not supposed to take part in their own existence and to enjoy their own existence and to love themselves and care for themselves first and foremost before they do for other people. Put your own oxygen mask on first. Think about that. Think about the simple logic of that idea. The idea, you put your own oxygen mask on, you know what I'm talking about, right? When the oxygen masks drop out of the plane and they tell you, even, okay, so let's not panic. Let's just normal flight procedure. The flight attendant stands at the front and goes through the book and see here where it says to put your mask on first and then help the people around you. That's because if you don't help yourself, if you don't have the clear head, if you don't have the happiness, if you don't have a better grasp of your own mind and your own self and in control of it, how can you possibly help others? You can put on a great facade. You can get away with it for a very, very long time. But eventually, fundamentally, because you don't practice it yourself, you're not going to be able to hold it up. It's going to be all particularly hollow in its existence and what it does for you. And that's the problem, right? If you put on a facade, if you fake it for other people and you're not doing it for yourself, you're not really getting anything out of it. You think you are because the people around you seem to get what they need out of it and seem to be happy with you because you've given it to them, but you're still subsisting on the opinions, the thoughts of the responses of other people, and that doesn't solve you as a person at your core. Even if you get a lot out of it, the mothers might be the closest thing to that, but then they're also some of the worst for it. They're some of the easiest to have depression when they have some of the most free time on their hands. It's very, very easy to feel sort of limited in your use, your usefulness when you're not immediately involved in the things that you think you're supposed to be doing for other people. So mothers are a perfect example of someone who can do and do and do and receive great satisfaction out of the things that they do for other people, but then in the end, they not have done for themselves and not done right by themselves, and in the end, not be healthy, not be happy, and, not having those other outlets, those other things that we need to do. Just something academic for you before the end of the show. One of the other things that got to me a little bit over the last couple of weeks is I kept seeing this something pop up about people talking about the Federal Reserve and trying to diminish the role of the Federal Reserve and particularly fractional reserve banking on the banking system. And I shared a couple of weeks back a thing about the Federal Reserve and some thoughts on the Federal Reserve. And then this, I come across this It's about fractional reserve banking. And one of the things that I had seen was, in particular, was somebody really diminishing the idea of what fractional reserve banking is by trying to dismiss the fact that the bank does not have the reserves to cover everything that it is lent out. That's the point, is that there's nothing backing what the only thing, the best you get from the banks is, well, the money's, I don't have your money, Mr. whatever the guy's name was. It's in his house and in his business. And that's my horrible Jimmy Stewart there, I guess. That's the best you get from the banks is, well, I gave that money to that guy and he put it into that thing over there. That's the best you can get out of it. But that really doesn't do you any good when what you need in a bank is a place that you can go put your money, your currency wealth, and to be able to get it back out when you need it to spend it on somebody else's house. I can't spend Bob's house on my business. I need money. So what's the answer? You take more money that you brought in from someone else, keep a fraction of that money and loan out more money. People talking about that as if that's not a problem, because people seem to, most people who talk about fractional reserve banking and the problem with it, it's the way that they present it. It's the way that they say that money is created out of thin air that people can argue with, and that in this particular case somebody did try to make the argument that that because it's different, the way the fractional reserve banking functions is different than the way you say it functions, even though the outcome is exactly the same, that it's not that you're wrong about it, that the outcome is not bad because it's not, but the outcome is literally exactly the same either way. So it doesn't matter if you exactly understand the intricacies or the very practice of fractional reserve banking versus the result. This is that misfocused obsession again with something, trying to defend something or trying to tear something down on either side of it, this over obsession with that thing with that particular function, as opposed to that true result and that true root cause. You know, the problem with fractional reserve banking isn't fractional reserve banking itself, it's that it's a legal mandate, that it's the way banks are allowed to fund our society and to basically in their way to make money off of not having any actual a real thing to contribute to the development, the growth of things. And what happens, you have to read this article. This is why I put the links up there for you, because there's so much more in it. And I don't agree 100% with the article and the way they present some of the things. But the core of the idea that we need to be focused on our own tools and our own means so much more than we do on the particular faults of the particular language and describing the faults of this and that. When we look at the outcome of it, the result of it, and say this is the result, who cares how we got there necessarily, when we know that no matter what, it was inside this particular set of frameworks. A long way to say don't be obsessed and find other things to do with your time at times. And take care, and we'll see you next week.
Crime fighting, political science, analyzing broad. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because
you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.